Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of LeagueCast. Probably not going to number this one because I'm just having a little chat with my friend, one of my best friends, founder of LeagueCast himself, one of maybe, and returning League of Legends player slash host of his own show, Chris Buhner.
Yeah,
he's back.
That's right. LC Chris wasn't taken because my account was still there with seven layers of dust on it, one for each year.
Although, have you? So I guess we're just going to talk about random stuff throughout the entire show. We're not doing a proper show. So apologize if that's what you're looking for.
Too bad.
But are you aware of the name changes, the system that has gone into place recently, Chris?
When I came back, I got a little pop. It was like, claim your Riot name or something. Mm-hmm. And then so I'm LC Chris, hashtag NA1.
Yeah, you're the OG.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's kind of like, I think the best comparison is like Discord names where, you know, you can be any name that you want as long as the identifier behind you is unique.
Yeah.
So there could be, you know, multiple LC Chris's. At this point, that's pretty exciting.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. No.
Maybe after this.
Maybe. Fans, more just fans. Just to spite me. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Why don't you tell everybody? It's strange to me to think that there could be people listening that don't know who you are.
Oh.
But why don't you give us a little background? Tell us about what you've been up to. Everything.
Yeah. Wow. Geez. How much time do we have? I'm Chris. I wasn't like solo on the first episode, but this was my idea back in 2010. Yeah, back in the day, mm-hmm. back in the day when we had like seven high school boys on all at the same time, mm-hmm. which was in retrospect a messy decision.
Definitely.
It seems to have worked out in the long
really
run.
Something really special, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It was before everything had to be professional and, you know, perfect to have a chance to stand out. It was a lot of, really rough stuff that turned out into something really, really incredible.
Yeah. And I think it sort of mirrored the rise of League, because when League of Legends first came out and we started playing it in beta, mm-hmm. me and my buds were originally on the show. It was rough.
Yeah.
It was really rough around the edges. And I think our show sort of reflected that. And I think it just kind of came at a good time in our lives. You know, 2010 was the year I graduated high school. And that's mm-hmm. when we started that show.
Yeah.
But anyway, so long time since then, right, to 2023. And the show is still going because you, Aiden, and Colton have picked up the mantle for a long time now. And because the show is still around. So in that case, I'd be very surprised if people are still listening that do know who I am.
Yeah.
Or remember a lot of the old people too, because who knows?
That's kind of how I feel as well.
Yeah. Yeah. But since then, I kind of put League down because ultimately I walked away because it was just a little much. I got burnt out because we went really hard for a long time.
It's tough. Yeah. It's tough to commit to one game for that long.
Yeah. And also unlike yourself, Aiden and Colton, I'm not good at the video game. So it made being very passionate about it that much more personally painful, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, I'm plateauing at gold too. I'm actually trash, right?
Yeah, I definitely understand that.
Mm-hmm. You know, even though gold is like respectable, if you look at like the statistics, not anymore. There's so many other tiers, right? I suppose it's a little bit skewed now. But back in the day, gold was like above average. And so, I should have been happy with that. But, you know, I'm an all or nothing sort of guy, so it was hard.
It's only skewed at the higher tiers. So I would presume that gold is still, you know, as impressive as always. Maybe, I think the only difference is that I believe platinum is not a one-to-one comparison.
Okay.
Because there was a slot between, like, they kind of pushed platinum down to slot in emerald. Yeah. So gold is still gold. Platinum is platinum slash emerald. Diamond, still diamond. Everything else is kind of the same.
Okay.
So I know this answer, but do you plan on keeping League pretty casual? Do you want to get back into the more competitive side of it? Because this has been sort of a discussion on LeagueCast proper for the three of us recently.
Yeah. I started playing League regular because I've been playing TFT a lot actually over the past few years. I think I've only skipped maybe one set, maybe one and a half, kind of, because, you know, there's like two sets in one each time. And so I've been playing that a lot. So I've been kind of plugged into, like, you know, the system still of League, of like the new champions that are coming out, some of the talking points on like subreddits and things like that. So while I was not playing League proper, I still was able to keep up, or at least keep an eye on part of the general narrative. And now that I'm playing regular League again and getting several of our other friends back into League, it is interesting how called I feel to want to be better again.
Yeah, it is. I feel like there's something really special about League, and I don't know if I've ever felt this for another game, at least not the way that I do about League, that it almost like hurts to not be the best, you know?
Yeah.
Like it kind of sucks to be maybe even only at a rank, but to have a kind of like a measure of your skill that is lower than what you feel like it should be.
Yeah. Or even if it's not like where you think it should be, like, I don't know, like just somewhere in my brain, I'm like, oh, there's three tiers above me and only two below me. Like, I don't feel good about that.
Yeah.
You know, you know, even if it doesn't bear out in the statistics, right, or the demographics of players that play at that level. But to answer your question completely, I would like to take it more seriously.
Okay.
Especially with all of the major changes coming on the horizon.
Yeah.
Which because I stepped away, I feel like is less of a big deal to me. And I feel like I would be kind of upset if I had played League this entire time and had spent so much time into getting to know this map inside and out. And now they're going to do a massive overhaul after not making overhauls like that a regular thing. I would be a little apprehensive if, like, I was in your shoes.
So I'm actually pretty excited for the map changes specifically.
Nice.
I think it'll breathe like some pretty fresh life into the game, but I'm always down for the sort of Dota model of like relatively infrequent but pretty serious changes.
Sure.
I still would love for, I think talents being added to Dota was one of the best things for any MOBA ever, so I would love for it to be added to League at some point, but that's a, you know, a different discussion.
It doesn't have to be.
That's, you know what? That's true. But I don't know. I'm pretty excited. Are you, are you familiar with the, they're actually changing, the format of the split, the rank split as well. So, you know, League as, or the rank season as one, you know, big grind. And at the end of it, it's the end of ranked, right?
Yeah.
The current version of League has been split into two splits. So there is split one that ended, I believe, in July. And I think there was maybe a couple day break, but nothing too big. It wasn't an off season, right? It wasn't like a preseason sort of thing.
Okay.
And then it started rank two or split two, which is kind of where we're at now, which will be ending in January. So there's two ranked rewards, two ranked finishes. There'll be two Victoria skins for the first time ever. And next year they're actually, they're turning that into a three split system.
Oh my gosh.
No breaks whatsoever.
Trimesters. So there will be,
there'll be no off season, no preseason. They'll have big changes, I believe, after each split, but it won't be, the level of which that we would expect like a preseason change to be.
So how does that affect the world of competitive, like professional esports players? Are they going to be playing? Is their professional split going to be following the split in game? Be insane if it didn't, right? So
I don't think there's been much news about it. Okay. North American League has been not doing super great lately.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
So
kind of a shame.
Yeah, I agree. CLG is no longer a team. So I'm free from my curse.
Hey, yeah, that's okay. Not only
no longer a team, no longer an organization.
Oh, that does stink. That's sad. It
is a little sad. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work. I have been very vocal about being anti pros should have time to practice on the patch before it comes out. I think it would be way more entertaining as a product to, if Briar is released, to see Briar in the LCS the very next week, you know, and see how teams incorporate that. Sure. Maybe the champion's, you know, super OP and leads to some teams getting blasted when they otherwise shouldn't have been.
Oh yeah.
I think like for a product overall, it would just be way more entertaining.
Yes, 100%. I mean, like, I think I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I think that giving pros a different platform to practice and play on at a different time than regular players are playing does a big disservice to the IP in general, because it creates like such a gap and such a disconnect from the conversation that regular players are having and the conversation that pros are having. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't serve anybody, because if you want more buy-in from your consumers, people that are watching your production, right, of the esports stuff, you want them to identify with those players. That's why things like football are so successful, because people identify with players and they get to their interviews or like, oh, this guy really loves his mom and they have two dogs. He's just like me for real, mm-hmm. like stuff like that. And this takes that up. I didn't realize that was the case.
Yeah. So typically, pros, I will say, will be like a week or two behind the patch. Mm-hmm. So like a patch will come out, they'll have, you know, they'll be playing on an older patch, or a champion that is released will not be active for the first initial, you know, couple weeks. Yeah. Or you know, if it comes out right when playoffs are happening, you know, they won't be able to play them during playoffs. Which, you know, I think is understandable. You don't want a team to maybe win when they don't deserve to, in quotation marks. Sure. But I think like from a product enjoyment standpoint, it's way more fun to see like, oh my God, the new champion can do that. That's crazy. Yeah. How exciting is Hui going to be for pro play? Right. When it's going to be kind of hard to tell what's going on, because a lot of his spells are pretty flashy and big and, you know, and then you're going to see all of them happen at one time at a high level with, you know, the level of play that pros are going to be able to put into the champion. And I think going back to what you were saying, I think there is something really special about League that a lot of other games don't have, where if I see Faker play, I don't know, like Aurelia mid, right? Olaf mid, something really kind of crazy like that, and it pops off. Oh, I can just hit play and lock that character in, and like I'm playing the same game that Faker's playing.
Right. Yeah.
And I think there's something like really enticing about that from a viewer like standpoint.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, like, I did make the comparison to football earlier,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in a way that it's dissimilar here is that, like, if I see somebody make an incredible catch, I probably physically can't do that.
Yeah.
But in league, I could do that thing that I just saw, like you just said.
I mean, there's like some things that are probably going to be really difficult, but I think insect, the Lee Sin insect play is sort of a good example of this where, you know, we were around the first time it happened and it was, holy shit, he's the best player of all time. Like no one mere mortal's hands can do that. And now
this is pre-Faker for those listening. Like,
Like if your gold Lee Sin can't ward hop an insect correctly, like he shouldn't be playing Lee Sin.
Yeah.
You know, like it's gotten to the point where like, that's just part of knowing how to play Lee Sin to at a decent level is pulling off this move that only one player could do initially 10 years ago. Right. Like
yeah, it's when core you think necessary about it, like, that, it's tech, crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we talked about a lot of stuff on my list, actually. So you were kind of the lead cast. You were Mr. Lead Cast before I was Mr. Lead Cast.
Yeah.
Right. What were some of this is for the ones who have been around. What are some of your favorite Lead Cast memories?
Oh gosh, I think the in-person meetups are probably peak, right? I mean,
that was really special.
Yeah, I still really cherish those memories. Mm-hmm. We managed to get some people to fly in, and we did some live recordings mm-hmm. of Leadcast and several other shows that we had going at the time.
I have nightmares, by the way, about editing the video, the meetup video, and forgetting to put Will in there.
Oh, oh no!
Because there was just no footage of Will.
Yeah.
So Will, if you're listening, I'm very sorry.
Me too, for what it's worth, these many years later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that and like getting to meet and know you and Aiden, because I knew Colton through his older brother.
Yeah, yeah.
But and just a bunch of other people that like us and our like larger friend group got to meet and connect. And like we still talk to this day, even though Leadcast isn't like a part of several of our lives.
Yeah.
It's you can't put a price tag on that. But if I had to be less mopey about it, I guess, or sappy, I think just getting in on the ground floor of that game and kind of growing with it as friends, players, and podcasters was really special. And I've been able to kind of do that again with this other show that I'm doing now, but this one was different.
Yeah, we can talk about your other show in just a second. But it is kind of the dream of like any sort of content creation is that like, you hope that you jump in, you know, at the start and you hope that it becomes the biggest video game in the world.
Yeah.
And it is around for 15 years, you know, 13 at this point. But
right. Right. Like, and at a time when the free model was new and people were like, this game isn't going to last.
Yeah. Like it's like exactly what you hope for. Yeah. So you kind of like struck gold in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, tell me about your other podcast. I know about this other podcast, but maybe some other people don't.
You've been on it.
I've been on it. I remember. I still remember my Alolan executor section. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
I wasn't sure about the pronunciation, but he's still one of my favorite Pokemon because
he's
of that.
Tall. He's good. Yep. He's good.
Long neck.
Yeah, so I'm a lifelong Pokemon fan, and so I run a Pokemon Go specific podcast with my co-host Kyle. We have a PvP specific segment as well that is produced and published separately on the same feed, and we've now added a third such show, which is an interview series called Star Piece with my co-host on that one. His name is Lachlan. He's from Australia. Nice. He's great. So the two that are on the, I'm going to brag a little bit because I'm so proud of being able to work with them. Are two PvP corner PvP specialists. Mm-hmm. One shout casts for the official Pokemon events. Yeah, she's incredible. DeFi 250, shout out to her. And Fish on a Heater, her co-host, came in second place at the only held Australian regional tournament.
Wow, that's incredible.
He got like a flight package and stuffed to Worlds this past year in Japan. from it. So they're both rather accomplished in the space, which is incredible. It's very similar. It's very similar to what happened when we handed over the reins for LeagueCast. It was like, oh, here are people that have broken gold consistently. Oh, wow.
Okay. Well, it's not quite that. We didn't have quite those credentials. We just happened to make friends with you guys when you started hating League.
No, and plenty of time when we liked it. Plenty of time when we still liked it. Fair. Although, does anybody truly like League that likes League? I don't know. I still don't know the answer to that question.
So this has been easily the months long period where I've played the least amount of League. I just don't have time for it. And when I have had time, there's been, for me, just a lot of crazy, crazy good games that have come out recently.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, it's really hard to want to play League when like, oh, I bought a PlayStation and I'm going to like, I want to play God of War. Oh, I'm going to finish Hollow Knight. Like just all this stuff that, you know, has come out that I've been looking forward to or is old, you know, that I have finally gotten to. But every once in a while, like, you know, I'll have an opportunity to play. I've been playing more with you guys, you know, in your return to it. And I find myself like just wanting to play League again, you know, you know how that feeling where it's like you're at work and, you know, 10 years ago it was you're at school and all you can think about all day is like, man, I can't wait to hop on the computer with all the homies and we're just going to play League all night. And, you know, I've been feeling that again recently.
It's really funny because we have like, you know, our friend group is like really static and really stable. And people come and go. They leave for like 4 or 5 years, don't talk to anybody and then come back. And it's like they never left. Right. We're very blessed to have people like that. There are more than five of us that are playing. And so sometimes somebody will hit the hay early because they're in a different time zone now because they've moved. And they'll go to bed. And then the rest of us are like, we just played four games. Like, we're done. Like, three of us will be like, we're done. And then two people will join like 5 minutes later that hadn't been on.
Yeah.
Like, you guys want to play League? And we're all like, let's play more League. It is infectious. You know, I would like to think myself more immune to it at this point, but I guess not.
But here we are, you know?
Right. Here we are. Still. Yeah.
And
good God.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Dang, okay. So, cool. In short, if you like Pokemon Go, you should listen to GoCast.
GoCast is awesome. Kyle is really cool. I haven't had the chance to meet everyone else, but in a way that like LeagueCast has not been as successful, I think, as a podcast. In terms of like, how do I word this without absolutely dumping on Riot?
Just like official recognition?
Yeah, official recognition, support, acknowledgement, promotion, even, you know, something like that. LeagueCast or GoCast has been such a phenomenal representation of the other side of that, where you've worked directly with Niantic, you know, the Pokemon company. You know, you've been flown out to events, to pre-release some stuff and kind of tease that, right?
Kind of. Yeah, it's more like coverage. And then we had one notable thing where they put us up and then we like signed autographs and stuff, and that was cool. I still can't believe that LeagueCast didn't get that.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I think that's more a testament to kind of how lucky Riot's been in terms of garnering an audience, a following, like whatever you want to call it, success, without necessarily handling things like properly. Because I think like I don't mean to imply that like Riot should give us whatever we want, put us on the front page. Like,
oh, I'm implying that. I'll say it. Yeah.
Well, I don't necessarily feel that way, but
sure.
A good example of this is, you know, it took them 10 years to put purchasable like splash art posters on the merch store. And even today you can't buy every single splash art in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, you know, from a merchandise perspective, you only make a poster when that poster is sold. So it is 100% profit, you know, once you have it up and running. And I think that's just sort of like indicative of how, like, again, how lucky Riot's gotten. Because if I go to their partner page, you know, I bet it still says partner page currently down. It'll return in 2020.
Oh, do they have an official partner program now?
Yeah, they do. They do. And, you know, they have some special stuff that go with it, some perks. And that program has been down for years now. You know, the,
So it wasn't even like a pandemic thing. It was
I think it was, but I think it's just something that they've put on the back burner because it's not important to them like anymore.
Sure.
And it was one of those things where, like, I don't know if we qualify anyway because our numbers do match up, but all their demographics are for, or all their metrics are for views and not for listens, like anything like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it's like if your video, you know, if you're averaging, you know, 50 viewers on Twitch, or you get, I think, like 5,000 views on videos on average, like we'll, you know, you can apply to be a partner. And it's just one of those things where, like, it doesn't necessarily equate one to one for listens.
Yeah.
But that being said, you know, it's also difficult to reach out to them just to talk, period, and have that conversation. So I'm ecstatic that GoCast has been the opposite of that, and that, you know, you guys have experienced success in that manner.
Yeah, I am too. We got quite lucky. And so now that we're in the program, other opportunities kind of avail themselves. Mm-hmm. But getting in was a large amount of luck and people talking to us and us talking to the right people.
Yeah, and again, timing. Stuff, like, so. You guys nailed the timing. Exactly. You know, the moment that Pokemon Go became popular, you know, you guys were kind of like, hey, this is a really good idea. You already had that experience, kind of knew what it took to set everything up and format it in a way that was approachable for people. Like, super exciting.
I mean, I stole, or I guess repurposed, the entire format of LeagueCast for GoCast. It has changed a little bit over time, but it largely resembles the original format for LeagueCast.
It is funny because, you know, you have the news, you know, at the beginning, then you have a roundtable section, maybe a discussion before or after that, however you have formatted it, and then close out with emails. Old reliable.
Yeah. We've got some other ones. We've got news. We've got a tips and tricks segment we call Gear Up, which is also a Pokemon move. Poke Lore, which you talk about a particular Pokemon, which was also a segment of the original LeagueCast. We used to cover a champion lore. And then, it's a roundtable segment and emails. And you're right. Old reliable, you know, it's, for sure.
It's funny. We only stopped doing the lore because we ran out of champions. And we actually had this issue on our patron series as well, where we, at one point, A to Z, we'd cover, I'd say, probably 3 to 4 characters a show. And we would kind of like proposed reworks or updates for certain kits, which was really fun. But again, you know, we ran out of content for that because there was no champions to do. We'll have to revisit that because there have been a number of champions that have come out since we finished that up.
There are a lot of Pokemon.
That's very fortunate that you guys have. What are you guys, is Pokemon at 1,000 yet?
Yeah,
It's been at 1,000.
Well, this past generation pushed it over. Yeah.
God, how do you feel about the past generation? It was a Scarlet and Violet. Yeah, I have heard some things, that I don't know if you would agree with.
I probably do.
Yeah, you don't think it's in terms of quality.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, when you say that, are you asking me if I enjoyed the video game or do I enjoy the generation?
So I guess I did mean video game because I assume like as long as you could buy into the trash Pokemon or the key Pokemon, you know, to some extent, which, like, I'm not even like saying that from a place of hate. Those Pokemon are awesome.
Yeah, dude.
And I think in that generation, one of my favorite Pokemon, Chandelure.
Yeah,
came out.
Chandelure's a good one. Not in this last generation.
You know, with the trash Pokemon rubbish and
Trubbish and Garbodor.
Yeah, and the key
Klefki.
Yeah, those were, you know, those were the same generation, I think.
I think Klefki came the generation before.
Okay, but around that time. And yeah. I feel like a lot of people were like, oh, that's kind of the low because it's just a pile of garbage.
Yeah, but then people forget what Voltorb looked like. You're like, okay, all right, y'all. Sure.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll answer both.
You can answer both. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So the video game itself has a lot of issues. It's very framey, poorly optimized, things like that. But it is also breaking new ground in Pokemon. While Sword and Shield was like kind of pseudo open world, this one is like truly open world. And the DLC, there's two parts of DLC and the second part just came out like less than a week ago. And they added complete flying to it. And so being able to fly around that and the two other environments has been incredible. The frame rate still blows. Really? It does. But I have faith that this is a really good base that hopefully they will.
It's a good tech demo.
Develop around. Yeah, but this Sword and Shield felt like the tech demo. And this felt like another step. It's not quite there. It's just not, you know, but it's for the generation. I think this generation is lovely.
Yeah.
And I would even go so far as to say like the characterization and the narrative building in the game itself for this generation is some of the strongest it's ever been.
What is your favorite Pokemon from this generation? And I'll have to look it up.
This generation in particular.
Yeah.
I really, really like, and I'm just going to go for the starter because it's easy, but I really like Sprigatito. Sprigatito's my guy. It's the grass starter. It's a cat.
Okay. For
obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Grass and cat. Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, like there are some other ones, like look up Spidops, Spidops.
D-O-P-S.
It's got like a Garrot. It's like his spider web. It is really sick. They've got a lot of really cool Pokemon. They've got a Flamingo, and it's called Flamigo because it's set in like Spain, sort of. So they have like a lot of like Spanish puns.
Yeah, yeah.
Like kind of Fuecoco. Like
What's the
Firestarter? Fuecoco, yeah.
Okay, that is not who I was thinking of. The cactus.
Cacturn?
Is that that's his name? I thought he had a like Spanish inspired, but maybe.
Oh, you're thinking of Ludicolo?
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Ludicolo. Yeah. Ludicolo is from like a much earlier generation, but similar sort of idea there for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. But good quality stuff, I think. Yeah. Not in terms of game optimization, but everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, game optimization is sort of like base level expectation, and so some people find it unplayable, and I completely empathize with that, but you power through and it will reward you greatly.
Okay. Interesting. Cool. So as a returning player, how do you feel about the current state of the game? I'm trying to kind of express this in terms of like how it's changed from old League, I guess.
Yeah. Do you want to know like what the most striking stuff is?
Why don't we do that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I've actually since played the first map revamp, which is a long time ago, with the way it looks and things like that, and the dragon rework, and you know, Scuttle was new at some point in time, and so was Rift Herald. All of that stuff used to be different. But I had played since then, so I was prepared and ready for that. The most striking difference is how many champions I think I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
I no longer am. And I'm talking like El Clasico's, like Kale getting reworked like for the fourth time or whatever.
Yes.
And I think all the reworks work really, really well, but not when I'm facing them and I'm like, that's not what that character does. What's happening here?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm learning very quick. It's nice. It's just a little kind of like, you know, updating your drivers on some of these in your memory. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that I think that's the most striking thing. Items too, but yeah, that's a whole beast. So
I mean, how do you feel? I guess there's a lot to unpack there.
But we'll
follow the flow of the conversation. How do you feel about mythic items and the mythic system in general? It doesn't have to be from like a balance perspective, because
sure,
I wouldn't expect you to have, you know, that level of knowledge or analysis at this point.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Give me a little leeway there.
A little bit.
No, I think, you know, in all things, competitive and creative limitation mm-hmm. breeds creativity, right? And so having to choose one as opposed to another creates an interesting conversation around builds and stuff like that. But at the same time, there aren't so many exciting items besides that it feels 100% good. Hmm. Does that make sense?
What do you mean by that? Like, give an example.
Oh, geez. When I take Gale Force is mythic, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So like when I take Gale Force, that means that I can't take, give me another mythic.
Infinity Edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. That is a really good example, because especially from somebody that used to play from back in the day, i.e. was basic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you deal attack damage and you deal damage with auto attacks, you want that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I take Gale Force on like, Vayne a good one?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I can't take IE. And to me, that feels like something that I'm just missing. So even though I have six items, I've sold my boots and bought something else.
Yeah.
It still feels incomplete to me. You know?
So do you feel like that is a, you mentioned limitation breeds creativity. Do you feel like that is a positive for the game overall? Do you prefer when it was everyone could build whatever they want, whenever they want?
I think I actually prefer this design, even though I'm complaining a little bit about it. I think I prefer this better because that means that you're not going to go the same items every single time necessarily. And if you choose, like if you're running into difficulty, you can have that split second mm-hmm. conversation with yourself. Oh, OK, I took this mythic, but I was autopiloting when I took this, but I actually need to deal more damage and in this different way. So I'll get an IE instead mm-hmm. and sell my Gale Force. Right. And that's much more interesting, I think, you know, instead of just making an entire build surrounded around like the idea of countering one champion.
Yeah.
It's more of like an overall, oh, I'm dying too much. I should probably swap this item out with something with more defensive properties. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I think that's healthy.
Okay. Yeah. I would tend to agree with you. And I think we've talked about this on the show. I kind of agree with your thought about limitation and creativity. I think it's really good for the game to have those limitations, not just because of the limitation and creativity aspect of it, but there's on some level there's more levers to pull when discussing balance if everyone is sort of gated by items to some extent, right? Like you can with mythic items, there's the mythic passive and the actual item stats on the item itself, or you know, the active or the passive or whatever. There's a lot more things to do to change the item to bring it more in line, or conversely to bump up other items who need a little bit more help. And on top of that, I think that League players sort of suffer from actually a lack of creativity in terms of build, where, previous to the Mythic system, when, like you were saying, when you're an AD carry, you build AD carry items, you build Infinity Edge. For a while it was, I'm going to build Zeal plus boots plus Bloodthirster on every single attack damage carry in the game. Those are the builds that those are the items that I'm building no matter what. So to kind of move away from that and more towards situational build capping items is something that I really enjoyed. And it allowed Riot to put a lot of power into specific items, as opposed to kind of just having them be like stat sticks for lack of a better word. But there's a lot of people who don't like that. And I do think to some extent the items have been a little strong for too long. it does kind of suck when I think currently one of the best builds in the game is an AD carry building a tank support item, Blade of the Ruin King, and like full tank after that, pretty much. That's obviously not good for the game.
Also, just three item spikes, I feel like are a lot more stronger than they used to ever be yeah. when I played in the past.
Yes.
Two items, not so much, because you get a lot of mobility earlier now than you used to, mm-hmm. which is nice. But three item is just outright, like, we're talking tower dives when before they had to hide behind mini waves. It's insane.
Yeah, I think so. I the game has gotten a lot faster. I think that's an intentional design. I don't think Riot wants people to be in a game for 45 minutes to an hour, you know, to resolve that.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. Yeah. Man.
Yeah, I agree with you. I lost my train of thought. We're talking about items, three item spikes.
They were stronger than they've ever needed to be.
Stronger than they've ever. Yeah.
Stat sticks, you said.
Thing. I'll never get it back. It's okay.
Okay.
Dang. But yeah. And a lot of people have complained. Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, you said you agreed that, you know, it's stronger, the game's getting faster.
Yeah. So is that something that, like, how do you feel about the length of the game flow, like, in general, that sort of, because a lot of people have complained, yeah. a lot of people have complained that, like, oh, I want to go back to the days when the game was much slower. I could play AD carry and not die quickly, like that sort of thing. Oh, I remembered, by the way. And I have attributed a lot of that to, you know, intentional design changes from Riot, but also players just getting better at the game. I think the skill floor of League has increased, the average League player has increased so tremendously highly especially over the past few years, yeah. that I feel like even if we got the exact same patch, whatever, that people really wanted, it would not be the experience that they desire anymore, because people aren't going to build suboptimally. People aren't going to not know how to play certain characters and do certain combos or, you know, research matchups, you know, that sort of thing. People don't do mm-hmm. that anymore. I think, I've talked about this. I think gaming as a whole sort of suffers from this, like, optimization fascination, where, like, a good example is you can't raid and WoW if you don't have the right talents, the right gear, if you don't know the fights before you go in, like that sort of thing, where, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it was just like, hey, we need a warm body who, you know, is willing to stick with us for a couple hours every week.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny, because that is the exact also example, well, property that I thought of too, was I think about this experience with classic WoW that people have been having the past few years, and how things like Party Finder and stuff are still, like, necessary for people to be happy, even when they got what they wanted, which is a classic experience.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, I've not followed it very closely, but from my understanding, people are not struggling with the end game content at all, right? It's not they're blowing past it because the content was made 20 years ago and required, hey, could you have 25 people out of 40 maintain a stable internet connection? And yeah, that was the challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the mechanic, is just stay connected to the internet with your computer not crashing long enough.
Yeah.
Whereas
it's easier to dodge the fire on the floor when your ping is not four digits.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And nowadays it's a lot more complex, you know, a lot more finely tuned, and requires a lot more dexterity in terms of skill. And I think that's sort of, you know, not a one-to-one translation over to League, but I think that's what League has become. You know, you're playing against someone who hasn't first time to champion and knows what all the characters do, and, you know how specific matchups interact with each other, builds correctly, doesn't put points into, you know, I don't know, Blitzcrank knockup when he needs to put points into pull or something like dumb like that, you know?
So I
think, like, you know, the Riot as a whole has done a good job of optimizing the game, making it shorter. I think there's a sweet spot from, like, I don't know, 25 to 35 minutes feels satisfying. It doesn't feel too long. It doesn't feel too short. Yeah. But I also think players have gotten good enough to, you know, to sort of influence that as well.
I mean, yeah, and like the timers and the milestones of like when you can surrender and when you can't and mm-hmm. stuff like that also sort of like push that topic of conversation into the minds of the people that are playing. Like, oh, by 15, if we don't feel good, we're FFing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you look for telltale signs. And even just setting up a framework like that, a web of expectations for you and your gameplay and in your team's gameplay kind of already speeds things up mm-hmm. as it is.
Yeah.
And then to just, you know, mess with the numbers such that make champions faster overall with itemization at base speeds, right? And then itemize faster because you generate more gold in different fun ways. Like, all of these things accelerate gameplay. And they chose to do all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't just choose one thing at a time. Like, there was an overhaul at some point when, like, all of this changed and boom, faster games, you know?
Yeah, I think at some point it was, you know, every single game was take four dragons, get Dragon Soul, and then end the game. And now, you know, that still is a win condition. But by the time a team has Dragon Soul, it's pretty likely, we already know who's going to win that game.
Yeah.
By the time someone has three dragons. So I don't know. Do you feel like the game speed is good? Would you like it? Would you prefer it to be a little bit longer, a little bit shorter?
No, I think it's good. Honestly, I really do. It's been great having to only sit down and really dedicate 30, 35 minutes more often than not mm-hmm. to a game with queue involved and everything else. Right. I like that because by the end of 35 minutes, even if I'm doing well, I'm sick of playing that character. I want to play somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, uh-huh. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So
speaking of, which characters have you been playing?
Pike and Vex primarily are like my main characters.
Yeah.
I play a fair amount of Blitz and Thresh when I have to be support.
Mm-hmm.
And then Teemo when I am not trying to try very hard.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Do you play Pike in a solo lane then or in the support role?
Okay. Support.
Okay. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, he's kill steal the champion. Of course he appeals to me, you know?
There have been a lot of people who have tried to make Pike mid work. And they have successfully for a while. They've actually, Riot has made some changes to Pike since release to push him out of the mid lane role because he was so powerful.
Oh, that's unfair.
His Q is single target if you tap it. His E deals no damage to minions anymore, his dash. A lot of changes to get out of mid lane. And people still do it. There's a player who went to Korea recently and I believe hit Challenger on mid Pike.
Yeah, you know what? Sink them all.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Are there any champions, new, reworked, whatever, that you just absolutely have not enjoyed playing against?
Seraphine.
Okay. You don't like Seraphine?
Well, I like Seraphine just fine, but I did have a lane where it was a Seraphine Yuumi, and I almost quit playing video games forever. That was just the most frustrating experience of my life. And so I'm being so melodramatic. But I ban Seraphine a lot now in games.
There are characters in certain play styles promoted by these characters that I'm with you, like, are really frustrating. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've had the pleasure or, you know, misfortune of playing against Milio quite yet.
Yes.
He, when he released, was probably my least favorite champion the past 5 years, maybe more than that, maybe my least favorite champion release ever, because of the way he so heavily influenced the support meta and bot lane, like, as a whole. Kind of single-handedly with you know how his kit is intended to be used, pushed support towards maybe even further deep into a more reactive play style versus proactive. And by that, I mean the, you know, Soraka, Lulu, Janna, Milio play style where you can play aggressively and, you know, trade resources, health bars, you know, stuff like that. But you can also just sit behind your AD carry and keep them alive. Use your spells on them whenever you have to.
Yeah, and Q to poke if necessary, mm-hmm. if you can. But
yeah. So that was like one of my least favorite things. Fun fact: Milio broke Janna's record for lowest average damage per minute of any champion in any game ever in League. Yeah, he was designed. I said that word really weird. Designed almost entirely to play 1,000 units behind your AD carry. It was just really frustrating, right? You try to engage, you can't get on him because he's too far away. You can't get on the AD carry because he has two shields, a heal, range extend, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. So I was with you. I'm like, fuck Milio, fuck this role, like fuck everything. This is the worst. I can't do anything. Unfortunately, he's gotten nerfed enough to that he doesn't see too much play. But
yeah, he's obnoxious, but he doesn't feel nearly as dominant as what you're describing. So I'm happy I wasn't there for that initial release because good lord.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't even think it was like he just had an overloaded kit, because I do think his kit is really like fine. I think his numbers were just like really too high at the time.
Mm.
So yeah. Okay, cool. How have you thought, what are your thoughts on like the newer champions that have come out? I know you play with old host on the show, member of the show, Nick DiGenova.
Yeah.
Who is a big Briar fan.
He loves Briar.
Briar fan.
Loves Briar. Yeah, he took to Briar like water for sure. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's just because it's a play style thing. They make all these new champions, and then it's funny because you see like, oh, this Q is this other champion's W, but this small change, but a core mechanic is this. And I feel like while they've gotten creative in some of these kits they've put together, that some of this stuff still appeals to you on a new champion, mm-hmm. in the way that that type of play style appealed to you on an old champion. And I think they've done a really good job. You know, I know that there was a period of time where like some of those champion designs were just like really repetitive and kind of boring. I saw people talking about that, but I feel like the more recent champions have been like really good.
I'll give you you touched on this briefly, but people complaining about new champion design, it's never been worse than it's been now.
Okay,
you know, if you consume League of Legends feedback from Reddit, the game is the worst state it's ever been. It's dying. Reddit, like every single champion is the worst. Every single skin released is the worst. Riot's the worst. There's, you know, there's no redeemable factor. The game's fucked. Like just sort of everything. And I mean, that's not even hyperbole. If I open Reddit right now and go to the subreddit, I'm sure it would be complain in the top five.
This is just the same as Pokemon Go Twitter though, so mm-hmm. I understand.
Yeah,
I do.
But I'm with you. I think the characters that have been released for League have been some of the most interesting and kind of like dynamic characters that they've ever released ever. I always use this example. I think people, are you familiar with Zeri yet? Have you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I played her a couple of games. Yeah.
She took over League of Legends, right? Like she has historically abused a lot of items. She was really good with Yuumi for a long time, who people really, 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 really hate. And
it's just a cat. Get over it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the Zeri Yuumi combo was a staple in professional play for probably like 18 months.
Sure.
That being said, her kit from a design standpoint, from a gameplay standpoint, is like one of the most interesting of any character that they've ever released.
Yeah, they did the thing where they messed with the way auto attacks work on an AD carry.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It was like
because this is something that we've talked about on the show again. Like again, I'll keep saying that, but how do you release an AD carry now who is just an like how do you release Caitlyn now, right? Like how do you release Ashe? Like a character who's really simple, is primarily auto attack based. and isn't super boring. Because I think that's like something that people don't realize is, you know, if we got another Garen, right, whose kit is really straightforward, there's not really, you know, much optimization that goes into it. There's not a lot of dynamic gameplay happening. You know, you're spinning, you're pressing the buttons when they come up. Maybe, you know, you save your Q to remove a slow or use your W to reduce CC, something like that. But it's not on the same level as like a Yone deciding when to you know, cast his E, when to go back, when to Q3 into knockup. Like, and that's a frustrating character as well. And I'll, you know, I will freely admit that like not every character is as fun to play against as others. I don't think there's any fun characters to play against in League. I don't want to play against any character. Like, I don't think that should ever be an argument for the health of a character.
Okay, so quick experiment then, really quick. You walk into top lane. Who are you playing?
Who am I playing in top lane?
Who are you playing in top lane?
I think my most played top laner is Sion.
Okay, so you walk up Sion, right?
Yeah.
And then your enemy laner comes into view. Who comes into view that you're like, oh, hell yeah?
I don't know. I don't think there's a Sion. Probably someone who doesn't kill me level 3. So I would probably say another tank who lets me stack grasp like procs and, you know, lets me farm and I can just outvalue later in the game.
Garen, a bad Darius, Nasus.
I don't want to play against any Darius ever.
That's why I said a bad one. I know. Decent ones are still a menace. Yeah.
But that's what I mean is like, I don't think that anyone can truly say that I had fun playing against this character if you've lost to them. Because I think if you're winning, you beat any character. Like, okay, I had a great time that game. Like, that was a fun matchup. But I don't think there's anyone, if you're on the losing side of a matchup, where you're like, damn, that was fun.
Yeah, no, it's like what happens is that Seraphine Yumi game, and I go, well, I'm never fucking letting Seraphine be chosen in a game ever again, as long as I can have something to say about it. That happens. I'm never like, oh gosh, I hope somebody picks Garen because I had a great experience. No, you're right. But I don't think the game needs to have it. It's a competitive game. Like, why would you want to feel you don't want to feel great towards your enemy champions because like you're excited to play against them like that. I suppose the only exception is like these objective things, right? So if you're a Jhin and you get your special objective for killing a Hui with your ult.
Oh, I didn't know that was a quest.
Yeah, there's stuff like that, right? I mean, like, so I'm sure there are other examples we could pull up that I just don't know.
I'm sure there are.
Feel like that's the only exception, right?
I feel like there are some, like, if it is a pure 50-50, like, skill matchup, right? There is no, like, favored side. It is purely, like, if you are a better player and there's some, like, interesting interaction between these characters. I think, like, a good example, people hate playing against Fiora because of her parry, right? And I understand that. But I think she is a character that opens up a lot of, maybe not fun is the right word, but interesting trade patterns where if you're playing Renekton, for instance, you almost always want to open up with your stun, right? Yeah. I want to walk up to you. I want to stun you, drop my combo, and then dash away. Suddenly, there becomes this mind game, right, of I need to save my stun for Fiora's parry because after she uses it, I'll be able to trade positively and, you know, potentially kill her. But if she parries my stun, I'll get stunned and then she wins that trade. So it's like a really fun, you know, almost like rock, paper, scissors. But I feel like people don't like that because they like this, like, I don't know, really static way of playing. And because there's that sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, I don't have fun playing against any character ever, you know?
Yeah. And I agree with that. I understand that. I also empathize with people that are like that.
Yeah.
But what really helps is not playing for 7 years and then coming back.
Yeah, true.
Honestly, like I came back and I feel like I'm playing better than I did when I stopped playing, like by a mile.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's because I think I gave enough time for all these bad habits and all of these like mental things like, I play top lane this way, so no matter who I'm against, I'm never going to change. Now everything is just new enough that I can't do that.
Yeah.
And I'm having a much better time treating it more dynamically, like you're mm-hmm. saying. And I feel like getting stuck in a rut like that is just bad for the health of the game, let alone the health of the player, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. yeah.
I like that. You know, I think what you're touching on is that League should change, maybe, if the players should change, because League should change. You know, the change is good, sort of like as a whole theme.
Yeah, it's not like they're making all the characters bad and unbalanced. What they're asking you to do is think a little bit more, which is mm-hmm. a very fair ask.
Yeah,
because you're not a good teammate if you're on autopilot anyway. And we are all accountable for each other in, you know, a 5v5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's fine. I don't think that's a problem. I think it's completely fine.
Yeah, I think so, too. But going back to the champion discussion, I'm looking at champions released, in the past, I don't know, 5 years. And I think they've been some of the more interesting characters that have ever come out. I mean, Pyke is mm-hmm. a little more than 5 years old at this point. Silas has come out.
Silas is really cool.
Yeah, and has been really cool.
He's really popular too, isn't he?
Yeah. He's fun to play. He's a fun character. It turns out it's really fun to use abilities in a way that the game wasn't intended to be used at some point.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Like your kit, not for Silas.
Yeah. Oh, suddenly my kit is my kit plus your ultimate. Right.
Yeah, my first like, oh, I get it opportunity with Silas was I was playing against one in a game and we had a Maokai, and that Maokai initiated with an ult and they outran it / dodged it. Mm-hmm. And then the Silas turned around.
Yeah, turned around and did it again.
Maokai, and we're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like, it's super fun. It was a good time.
Yeah, it's super fun. Yeah. I mean, some of my favorite sort of combos like that are Silas being a counter pick to Twisted Fate. Because he can just steal your ult and be there when you go there.
It's like, hey, buddy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm here too now. You know, your benefit. The reason you picked Twisted Fate is now gone.
You're sitting in opposite bushes ganking mid bottom lane. And it's like that scene from Always Sunny where they're seeing each other across the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, probably the most insane counter pick of all time. If you see a Malphite on the enemy team, just pick Silas, because Malphite ult does a lot of damage because he's supposed to be building tank.
Yeah.
So then you're just a better Malphite.
Oh my gosh.
You take one of the better ultimates in the game, add the benefit of building full AP.
Yeah.
You know, and suddenly, oh, okay. On a character who's already disgustingly insanely mobile. Right. It's crazy.
I played him and then I was against an enemy Shyvana and I was like, cool, I'll steal her ult and I'll drag her away with the dash, because I thought that's mm-hmm. all I got. And then I was like, wait a minute, I'm still a dragon. Hold on a second. I got all these spells. This is rad.
Yeah, yeah, I wish really cool ones.
I wish more champions like inspired that sort of reaction when played. I know that's asking a lot because you can only do big shakeup gimmicks like that every so often, or only mm-hmm. once sometimes, kind of like Silas, you know. But like a character that has a really static, basic sort of sounding kit is Vex, and Vex is newer.
I don't think she's like poorly designed, but she's definitely on the simpler side.
Combo queen though, when you pull that off and you nail like your R over and over and over mm-hmm. again getting resets, like she can feel great.
Yeah, I think she kind of fulfills the like long range assassin, you know, AP niche.
Yeah.
In a way that like, oh, you have to actually go in melee range.
Yeah.
You know, she was supposed to be this like anti mobility character, and to some extent she is. But definitely her identity is more on like a burst assassin sort of thing now.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I'm glad to hear that, like, from a intentionally mean way, a more like casual perspective, that more complexity / gimmick / whatever you want to call it is appreciated, because I think like that is a complaint that people have a lot. You know, the characters are way, like, their kits are way too overloaded, too complex, like, they'll never be balanced because of the amount of options they have in their kit. But yeah, sure. I would every single 10 out of 10 times, I would much rather have Cassante released every single time, a character who, you know, is insanely difficult to play, but once you get him down is one of the strongest characters in the game, than have a character like Lilia, who is more of a simple character. And once they get ahead, it's just sort of like over. There's not a lot you can do.
Right. Right. And the people that are complaining about characters like Hui, right. Or Yone.
Yeah.
Garen still exists. Ashe still exists. Annie's still in the game. Mm-hmm. And each of these characters are supposed to be, well, in good faith, balanced around each other. Yeah. So if you don't have the complexity, take a simpler route and adjust appropriately. I think a lot of people, and I was this person back in the day too, when I would complain about a character because I was annoyed by them or something, it's because I didn't want to spend the time learning how they worked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's being honest with yourself about that is very different than being like, oh, complexity is bad for champion design. No, it's not. You're too lazy. You don't want to learn the champion.
Yeah.
More often not, which I get.
Yeah. But how did I die to Aphelios from off screen? That's right. Not fair. Like, this character's OP, period. Versus he had this specific gun setup that allowed him to, like, he put down a turret, which applied the sniper mark to me, and then he procced it over and over and over again, and I stood in that, you know, like a dummy, because I didn't know what it did.
That being said, Aphelios is bullshit.
it's very funny, because I feel like if I had the same conversation with Alex Henderson, this would be completely, the amount of messages that I've gotten him from him since he's come back to play League about whatever character being broken, whatever, you know, mechanic, whatever, like it's a non-zero number. And you guys have been back for, I don't know, like maybe 2 months.
So fucking like maybe? Back.
Yeah. We're so back. That's so funny.
Yeah. You know, that's hilarious. And it's funny because they don't have to tell me what the messages are. I'm pretty sure I can get close.
Yeah, you can. Messages, you can. So. For sure. For sure. Oh man. Okay, cool. Was there anything that we didn't get to talk about that you wanted to discuss before we wrap things up?
TFT is really fun. I love TFT.
I really wish I enjoyed TFT more. I think for me, my sort of experience with TFT was tainted early when, and maybe it's still this way. I don't know. So maybe my criticism is misplaced now. But where there was more value than I would have preferred placed on items and sort of like combos with that than the actual like composition of your team. At least when I like tried it out, and maybe it's like, I'm sure it's gotten more balanced, more fun. But I don't feel as bad missing on champions as I do hitting champions, or like trying to mismatch a team together, like whatever. And missing on items, like it feels like an element of RNG that I just don't like.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, and I think removing too much agency from anything is bad game design. Mm-hmm. RNG is great, but it needs to be checked, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. And I think the earlier sets did suffer from a lot of those problems. Like itemization was truly up to RNG, and you know the characters would come out, you get used to a certain build, you'd try to force it and you'd have less and less success. And while forcing a build every single time in TFT, even modern, isn't a great idea, you want to have a few in mind, such like, oh, I happened to get a perfect bloodthirster and an IE and, you know, an even shroud or something. Oh, I'm looking for a Yone and a Mordekaiser to put these on, right? Like that stuff is still there, but they made these things called augments in there too, which allow you to like randomize the items on your bench every turn and stuff like that to sort of like, in however you choose to play, give you some of that agency back with a good level of intent behind it.
Yeah.
And I think you'd enjoy it more now than you did before, because it's objectively better than it was when I first came out.
I feel like it's also a hard game to want to play by yourself if you aren't into it. It's so so much more fun to play with friends. Anything is, but
trying to learn League now. Learning League right now is like an insurmountable task because the tutorial still isn't great. And you're going to have so many questions that you can't ask anybody because nobody's going to have time in game to tell you.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that, you know, like a proper beginner tutorial won't cover. You know, for a long time, I didn't know that back in my day, I didn't know that you could just right click to buy items in the store. You know, I thought you had to double click. And that's not something that's going to, you know, get you into Challenger or whatever. But, you know, just an example of something that isn't displayed anywhere, isn't mentioned anywhere, that exists. You know, it could be helpful for newer players.
Yeah.
How do you feel about modes in general? I mean, I know you've played some ARAMs. We played some Arena the other night.
We did. Yeah.
How do you feel about those?
Earth is always cool. I think the 2v2v2v2 stuff is interesting. I don't like this iteration as much as I did the last one, although I know everybody feels opposite that. I just am not personally that good, I suppose, enough to feel good about it. You know,
I do think there is some, like, in a way where, like, you can get away with having some fun if you're bad at League on Summoner's Rift. It feels way worse to be, like, not as proficient at League in Arena.
Yeah, everybody's looking at you too, like you feel like you've let one person down and they can only blame you, and you're like, oh, I can't even, like, gaslight somebody else into feeling like it's their fault. What is this isn't League. But I mean, the modes are fun. I'm glad that they're doing different stuff. I mean, without that mentality of trying other game types, we wouldn't have TFT, right?
So I
think they're great, even if they're not all for me, you know,
which is fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, all that you can ask for.
That's right.
Cool. Well, I think that's all that I had.
Sweet.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. Chris, where would you like to plug? What would you like to plug?
Well, you guys should listen to LeagueCast. And if you like Pokemon Go, I would encourage you to listen to GoCast as well. It should be pretty easy to remember because the naming conventions are very similar, aka the same. But yeah, just look up GoCast podcasts anywhere. You'll see us on social media, mostly Twitter/X, because I can't be bothered to keep up with Instagram or Facebook. I think I deleted the Facebook page because I hate Facebook.
Me too. I got rid of mine a couple years ago, and I've never been happier.
Mine is still on there because birthdays, but the GoCast one is gone. I ain't moderating anything there.
I think at this point I have set an expectation where I am very sorry that I don't remember birthdays, but I will not be upset if no one remembers mine.
There you go. That's my promise. Yeah. But we also have a YouTube channel because we do video versions of our shows. So again, GoCast podcast on there. And that's it.
Hell yeah. And thank you all for listening. If you want to send us an email, we will do it next week, or maybe the week after that. I'm not sure when the boys are going to be back from Chicago, but you can send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLaudaBlueBasket and LeagueCastFrost. On Twitter or X, we're LeagueCast. On Facebook, we're LeagueCast. Visit our website, leaguecastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/LeagueCast. And visit our Patreon, patreon.com/LeagueCast. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you once again, Chris, for joining us. It was truly a pleasure to talk with you, talking League once more.
Yeah, dude, likewise. This was nice. It was kind of like riding a bike.
Yeah, for sure. You got right back into it, right back into it.
That's right. League is great.
Yeah. And I don't know what's going to happen next week. We'll see. Maybe I'll find someone else to interview.
Yeah, I got time, but you should
maybe I'll CRISPR too.
Get somebody. We should, okay. Even if maybe you and I together could convince another old host to come on and join. That'd be fun.
That'd be fun. Maybe I could set up some trivia for you guys. I think that would be
a good time. Wow. That'd be cool.
Okay. Cool. We'll try to make that happen. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks again, Chris. And maybe I'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Maybe. Bye-bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.